This is Will's Band of the Week for June 17th, 2012. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Here I am.
And Chris, who knows where Chris is? He could be anywhere.
He's not here.
Anywhere but here. There must be a song with lyrics like that.
Anywhere but here. Maybe even a title of a song.
Yeah, but if we typed in anywhere but here on Spotify, we'd get like 27 songs.
Probably.
Let's try it.
Maybe one of those songs would give us a clue as to where Chris might be. You know, like Anywhere But Here by Kansas, and then we know that he's in Kansas.
Right. Well, there's an artist called Anywhere But Here, let's see. There's a whole bunch of tracks called Anywhere But Here. Let's see if there are any bands that we've heard of that have a song called Anywhere But Here. Hillary Duff has a song called Anywhere But Here.
You can sort it by the track, right, and then get them all grouped together?
There we go. Yep, we got it. The Ataris, Rise Against, Raging Slab.
I wonder what, let's give that one a little sample. That's not going to be a pretty sound.
I don't think so.
It's got a cowboy boot with a wing on the cover of this thing.
This is the band Raging Slab with a song called Anywhere But Here.
So the 38 special cover band.
Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? They only wish they could be 38 special.
This is a... what is that album called?
Dynamite Concert?
Dynamite Boogie Concert.
Dynamite Monster Boogie Concert. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to read.
So what does that tell us about where Chris is?
He's boogieing, right? That must be it. I said 27.
Don't you hate that word, boogie?
Yeah, that's terrible.
That is the worst word associated with music that you can say.
It is really bad.
Like, what kind of music do you like? I like boogie music. Do people say that?
I don't know. That is bad.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's terrible. You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the website willsband.net. You can also contact us through the social media, Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can download the podcast. We should probably say that first because that's the most important thing. You can get us on iTunes or the Stitcher app. And feel free to subscribe so the podcast is delivered to your virtual door every week. Think about how bad it would be if you missed one that was really good.
That would be bad.
It would make you feel bad, and we don't want anybody
to feel bad. We might even read your name over the air.
Right. People who miss the podcast? Yeah.
Well, no, I don't mean that. not trying to shame anybody, but maybe you wrote a comment.
Oh, they might miss us naming them.
Yeah.
Good point.
And just think how that would make you feel to hear one of us say your actual name.
Right. So
little old you and becoming famous.
So next week could be the week that you are mentioned, and in that possible scenario, you'd want to make sure you listened, right?
Yeah. There was one time where we read all the Facebook likes, all of our Facebook fan club.
Right. Yeah. I think Chris was trying to solidify his base.
Yeah.
I remember Johnny Roast Beef. How could you forget him?
Yeah.
Right? Where's he been? Wasn't he supposed to be a guest on the podcast sometime?
Was he really?
I thought he was.
Yeah, I do kind of remember that. We say a lot of things that we don't follow up on.
Yeah, we just like just random.
Talk about it. Something that I made, some recipe, and I'll put that up there.
And then
I never do it.
It's not there. Yeah.
I want to start. Let's start. I'll speak for myself. I'm going to start to follow through on my little pledges.
Okay. We'll see if he does. Now, if Barrett makes any promises this podcast, everybody needs to follow up and see if he actually does it. All right?
I'll think of something.
So here's my music news. I went again and watched the annual competition of Wisconsin high school bands. We're talking rock and roll bands. And it was pretty fun again. They have this competition called Launchpad, and they have four regionals. And, you know, it's like a huge battle of the bands. and it's sponsored by the, I'm not going to get the name of the organization right, but it's an organization of Wisconsin school music teachers or something. But then it's also in conjunction with the Les Paul Foundation. So he must have set up some kind of fund. Because in between bands, they have this guy who talks about how great Les Paul was. And it's kind of funny. It's almost a little bit overboard, but, you know.
Right. For all these high school kids, you don't know what... They just think that he's a guitar maker.
Yeah. So, you know, let him give the guy his props. He probably deserves them, right? There was one funny part where they were like halfway through the bands, and the guy's coming up once for about the seventh time to talk about how great Les Paul was. And he says, here's an example. He walks over to this high school kid's guitar. This is a Les Paul. This is the classic shape of a Les Paul. And so, you know, right. Some of the bands did play Les Paul style guitars.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it was pretty fun just watching. And my son was there, but he wanted to hang out with his friends this time. He didn't really want to hang out with me, but we compared notes afterwards. And it was either 12 or 13 bands that were in the finals. And a lot of them had their parents there cheering them on, which is to be expected, right? So, and mostly that was really, really cool. You know, sometimes I thought it was a little overboard when they all had to make t-shirts, you know, for their band. I don't know. I guess
they had
I have
to
mixed
make
feelings.
T-shirts?
Like they had, like one band had t-shirts, all the family members were wearing t-shirts with the band name on the front and then the name of one song of theirs on the back. Like this is supposed to be their hit, I guess.
Right.
So I thought that was like,
That's okay. A little cheesy.
It might be a little bit, yeah. But it was still really cool to see everybody cheering for everybody. And they're all pretty decent and, you know, different styles. And last year, there were three bands with horn sections. This year, there was not a single horn. There was not, in all the bands, not a single horn, which kind of surprised me.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're totally, I don't think they're just totally biased against horn sections. There probably just weren't any horn section bands that rose to the top.
Right.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that.
Maybe there are different judges in the regionals, and one of the judges, or a few maybe.
They were anti-horn?
Well, last year they were, either way, last year maybe they were, you know, anybody with a horn section was in.
Yeah, and this year they were like, okay, somebody else's turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, it was fun. And,
well, last year, also, I remember you talking about this grave injustice where this band won that didn't deserve it at all.
Right, the band
like
that
the
won.
Fourth best or something.
They should have been, like, middle of the road, the band that won. And this year, the band that won, I also didn't agree with. But the other two bands that got awards, I did agree with. So I guess I felt a little more like I was a little more on track with the judges this year than I was last year.
What did Grant think about the judging and the winners? See, this is what happened. We thought we'd leave the door of the studio open because Will's family is all gone on a canoeing trip. And one of the hazards of that is that you can hear the dog barking.
Yeah, there's probably an intruder out there. Probably somebody trying to rob the house right now.
I better
and the dog
close
is scaring him off.
More likely, the dog doesn't like me.
It could be that, too.
So he senses my presence. I'm going to close the door again.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, it could be that he thinks you are the intruder, that you're about to commit an armed robbery against me right now.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen.
No, I will not. I promise.
Good. Okay, so, last year, I guess we were talking about what Grant thought about the judging.
Right.
You know, I think he kind of agreed with me, and he wasn't, like, talking about any injustices or anything. It's interesting, the band that won was from his high school. So when you think about, like, the state of Wisconsin is big, right? How many high schools are there? And the overall winning band came from Madison West High,
mm-hmm.
where my son goes to school.
Yeah.
And there's a kid there who is just Mr. Music is his life, you know? And he's pretty talented. And maybe it was just kind of a matter of taste. I thought that his whole deal was not maybe... I just didn't like that band quite as well as some of the others. And I didn't think that the overall... They were kind of showy, you know? And I think a lot of the judges... In fact, they do say, I think, one of the criteria is stage presence and that kind of thing. So they kind of... There is going to be like a built-in bias against bands that would just stand there and play, and in favor of bands that, you know, ham it up and try to be a showman.
Right.
And so that probably made me maybe like his band a little bit less, but like made the judges like it a little bit more. So,
so in a competition between, say, Van Halen and Joy Division with these judges, Van Halen would have won.
Yeah, that's a good example. Joy Division would never even, they wouldn't make the final. They'd get kicked out at the regional level. And Van Halen would, yeah, they'd win it all.
Where were the other bands from? Like,
well, all over the state. Totally all over the state. Because there were four regionals, and they were all kind of, you know, divided into different regions of the state.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really cool. I don't know if other states have things like this, but it's a fun thing to see. And that's about all I have to say, I guess.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right, here's more music news. Did you see this thing? I sent this to you.
I did see that.
Yeah. In this is just a funny little tidbit. This is what you get when you have like a Twitter feed going, and you have a you follow a bunch of music nerds on your Twitter feed. So they'll say, "Hey, look at this thing." So this is kind of a fun little tidbit that I got this week. Nickelback is playing in Idaho somewhere. It's a place called the Idaho Center. So one would imagine that's in Idaho.
Yep.
And the local newspaper, it looks like it's from the, you know, entertainment section of a generic newspaper, right? It says guide/listen here, and there's a picture of Nickelback, and it says Nickelback, June 13th, Idaho Center. And it says, you can spend $45 to go see Nickelback this week, or you could buy 45 hammers from the dollar store, hang them from the ceiling at eye level, and spend an evening banging the demons out of your dome. That $45 would also buy you a lot of pickles, which have more fans on Facebook than the band. It would also buy you an introduction to rock guitar video course that would allow you to surpass the band's skill level in 5 hours or less. $45 is also enough to see Men in Black 3 five times, buy a dozen Big Macs, do 10 loads of laundry, or so many other experiences as banal and meaningless as seeing Nickelback that come without having to actually hear Nickelback. But if you must, the band is playing the Idaho Center on Wednesday, June 13th at 6 p.m. Tickets start at $45.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty good.
That is good.
You know, it's that guy took a lot of poetic license there, and I think that's kind of cool. You know,
whoever does the booking for this is like, well, we got a critic's pick, sort of. As long as you don't read it, you know, might actually get somebody to come.
Right. Well, you know, there's just maybe some of their fans just by seeing the picture of them there.
Yeah.
Looking kind of serious with their arms folded. One guy with a bunch of tattoos. Like, these are badass guys, so we're going to go see them.
Look at those guys.
So, did you notice the date and time? This is exactly right now as we are recording this. This is happening.
Wow, it started 15 minutes ago.
Right. We're missing it right now. We could be in Idaho seeing probably whatever that last band is. It's Nickelback with Bush, Seether, and My Darkest Days. So I guess My Darkest Days is taking the stage right now.
Right.
Remember Bush?
Yeah.
They were bad, weren't they?
Yeah, I just know that I didn't like them.
I can't remember
any of their songs, but they were just like a Nirvana ripoff.
Exactly. I was going to say almost exactly that. They were sort of riding the coattails of Nirvana, but they weren't as good, and they didn't really wear well. You know, they kind of got old quickly.
That sounds like about 400 bands from the 90s that you just described there.
Yeah.
That kind of describes the 90s for me. There's some good stuff, but I won't go over that again.
We've been over the 90s a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I've kind of rediscovered some of the, that there was some actual good music in the 90s
too. Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Pavement was from the 90s.
Yeah.
A lot of Yola Tango records came out in the 90s. So.
Did you see Dinosaur Jr. is coming to town?
I didn't see they were coming to town. No,
they're coming to Madison.
A new album coming out though.
I think my son will be excited.
Where are they going to play?
At the Majestic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I saw them there in, actually, the night that I quit smoking, I saw them in October of 2008.
Wow, symbolic evening.
Yeah, or maybe it was 2009. I don't remember.
Is this like when people say that they were born again on April 12th, 1976?
Yes. I am 2.5 years old.
All right.
Yes, I was a born again, what would you say? Born again, I don't know, breather.
Your lungs were born again.
My lungs were born again.
That's right. All right, so I think we covered the music news. I thought about talking about the Mr. Rogers auto-tune, but then I decided I don't think that quite makes, you know, podcast-worthy level.
It was funny.
Somebody was sending that around.
Heard it.
Yeah, maybe. There was something about it where it sort of, it made you feel like a soft spot for Mr. Rogers. Of course.
Did you not have one already?
No, well, like I thought he was completely dorky when I was a kid. I didn't like him at all. But then as an adult, I kind of turned around where I thought, well, this is just a very kind man. So how can you not like the guy?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. That's it. So we don't have to play the auto-tune. We just gave our whole thing on Mr. Rogers. Well, I gave mine. What do you think about Mr. Rogers?
When I was a kid, I liked him.
You did watch him as a kid?
And then,
put on the sweater and stuff. And then, again,
like you said later, it's like, wow, what a kind guy this is. And what if you could go through a day and you'd stop at, you know, stop at the grocery store and all the people acted as nice as him.
Yeah.
Everything you did, right?
Life would be good, right?
Yeah.
You could excuse a little bit of nerdiness just for everybody being so nice, right?
I'd trade that in a second.
Everybody can be nerds. There's nothing wrong with that.
Going to the liquor store, you got a guy just like him.
Big. I hope you enjoy that whiskey. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen that, seek it out. I'm not going to say that I'll put it up on the thing.
Yeah, you're not going
to. I don't even know how to do that. You're the one that has to do that, so you'd be involved in that.
Like putting videos up on. You know, I did. Remember, I've done that before.
Yeah.
There's this weird code thing where you have to specify whether you're actually embedding the code or not. And I'm really kind of bad at that, but usually by trial and error, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
So. It would be good. We probably should try to get more content to the website other than just posting the episodes as a, you know, to get people to go to the website. I mean, now that it's really basic in terms of the design, it doesn't have like fancy graphics or anything, but maybe we could throw a couple things. We did do the recipe like a year and a half ago.
At least that long.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
Pinterest is really easy to put stuff up like that, but I don't know.
Can you post podcast episodes on Pinterest? Probably not, right?
Well, you
could post
to willsband.net. Like, I'm talking about you or I doing that.
Yeah.
You or me doing that. And then you just push pin it, and then it'll give you all the pictures that might be associated with that whole webpage.
But then if you click the picture, will it take you to the episode?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There was some deal with that where I remember that when we were playing around with it, that if you did it a certain way, then the link to the picture would link you to the associated whatever.
Right.
Other link. See, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Well, this is something that rockers shouldn't really be caring about, Pinterest, right?
Yeah.
But here we are. Here we are, burnishing our dad rock credentials by recording at 6 p.m.
Right.
On a Wednesday.
Right. Still light outside.
Usually we have a whiskey, and we're just having a beer.
Just a humble beer. A
couple of dads.
Yep.
Drinking some beer.
That's what we are. And you as a dad have graduated to another level. You were talking about your son being done with elementary school. That's really a milestone, isn't it?
That is. More so than I realized before I got there.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that it was terrible. I did not, that's not something I was smiling about. I felt really bad.
It's a really, I think, having gone through this with three kids, that elementary school is, as long as we're on a dad rock theme here, let's keep talking dad stuff, right?
Yeah.
In elementary school, they still kind of nurture. And when they get to middle school, they're kind of expected to just be more independent. And it's not the same. So it really is. Like, I really miss that whole. And the other thing is that the kids learn how to be mean in middle school. In elementary school, they're starting to learn that in fifth grade. But generally, all the kids are nice, you know?
Right.
So it's something in your literary background. being a literary kind of guy that you are, I'm sure you know this, the loss of innocence theme in literature, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but this is the new chapter.
Yep. Yep.
Wilson's life, the end of innocence.
Yep, and you can't go back.
Yes, although early indications are that nothing has changed, but it's only the, you know, this is the first day of summer vacation.
He'll probably do fine in middle school.
Yeah.
It's a adjustment over time. But there's new fun stuff. There's fun stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy every stage of life.
But it does kind of
yourself.
It does, you know, the end of the middle school era.
The elementary school era, you mean?
Right. Does bring you one step closer to death.
True.
It makes, yeah. You know, it's like you're not a parent of a little kid that's going to school with babies.
Yeah. Remember when your kid was like 2 or 3 years old, and then you knew other people who had a kid who was like 14. You're like, oh my god,
right?
They are just,
yeah, like
off the charts, different category. Like
totally,
yeah,
yeah. They can't relate to me at all. This kid's probably smoking and having sex. This 14-year-old, and you know, my kid's an innocent little baby.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. So as we lament our dad rock status, well, let's talk about some dad rock.
Let's do it.
The Walkmen have a new album, and it's been described as dad rock.
Has it really?
Yeah, I think more than one of them are sort of parents of young kids, relatively new parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been branded with the dad rock label.
That's bullshit.
Well,
that's just annoying to me.
The review that I read, there were one or two that I read that said that, but I remember them being generally positive. They're like, it's dad rock, but it's good. They've found, you know, whatever, a sound that fits them, but it's still kind of dad rock. Well, it's gotten great reviews, and I'm generally positive on it.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I'd put it.
I'm not like going crazy over it, but I'm not really negative on it either, and I think it's pretty solid. And they're a band that has a pretty unique sound, right? I mean,
yeah,
you can hear one of their songs, and it's not just the singer, but it's also the whole guitar sound.
Yeah, they got the kind of trebly guitar thing, and
I think they use a lot of vintage equipment, you know, old tube amplifiers from the 60s to get that sound. And well, why don't we just start playing some of it? The album is called Heaven. Do you have a pick?
Yes. Let me look at my phone here. One sec. I'm going to pick the third song. That one's called Heartbreaker.
Thank you.
So that one has more of a, you know, like a verse and chorus structure to it than some of them do on this album.
Yeah.
Did you notice some of the songs on here are just kind of meandering, and you think, like, when is something going to happen? And a lot of times it's just like one sound and then a little middle eight and then back to the one sound. But this one's an exception to that. But
I think historically they always tread that line of, like, they're trying to be just a little difficult and not be, like, totally obvious with their songwriting.
Right.
So, which makes, you know, in a way, I think it makes them more interesting.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of reservation about that last track, just in that the riff is kind of obvious, you know? But they give it their sound, so it sort of redeems it that way. But if you took that song and just didn't put in that interesting sounding guitar, it would be, like, kind of bland, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's playing that on the piano and singing it, it just sounds
like,
terrible.
Why are you playing that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, here's one that kind of grabbed me and I think is cool, and it has that cool guitar sound that they have. It's called Song for Lee.
Yeah, that's one that I really like.
It's got a nice flow to it.
Yeah. While you were queuing that up, I looked at their tour. They got to be playing 40 dates between now and November.
Are they doing
crazy.
Are they doing the Unforgivable? I was just thinking about this recently. The Unforgivable of playing one night in Chicago and the next night in Minneapolis.
No. They are not.
You and I, or the other way around, you and I both know why that's unforgivable, because Madison is right in between those two tour stops.
Yes.
So what's to lose by stopping in Madison?
That's what you got to do. But their tour, they are playing in Minneapolis and in Chicago, of course. But before they play Minneapolis, they play Milwaukee, right? Then Minneapolis. Then they go all the way out to Salt Lake City, then British Columbia, Washington, so they're kind of doing that. Colorado at Red Rocks, which would be pretty cool. Been talking about Red Rocks a lot lately.
Yeah.
Wilco plays there next Friday, and I won't be there.
Apparently.
Then back to the Midwest and Chicago. So after Chicago, they play back out to the West and play San Francisco. So it's, and then over to France.
Wow.
That's a lot of, you know, they
could a lot of touring. Yeah. Well, if they play Milwaukee, I can excuse them a little bit more for not playing Madison, I guess.
They're playing at Summerfest.
You know, I had kind of a bad experience last time I saw a band at Summerfest. It doesn't mean I wouldn't go back there, but man, it's like the crowds are so huge that they sort of, like, they're disproportionately big for whoever is playing, just because there are so many bodies there.
Right. They'd have, how many people would be at on the Summerfest grounds, like, at a time?
Probably...
like many, many tens of thousands.
100,000 or something.
Yeah, 100,000, say.
And so any band that's playing, you know, commands a crowd of, you know, 10,000 no matter what. Right. So, I mean, I remember watching Passion Pit playing there. It's like if Passion Pit came to town, you know, they would draw, you know, maybe 250 people or something, right? And you go to Summerfest and, like, you can't even see anything because the crowd is so huge. It's like, right. Wait a minute, this isn't worth it.
Right.
So, not that a big crowd for music is bad necessarily. So, I guess I don't want to, like, talk down, you know, on Summerfest, but...
but if they're playing one of the, like, the main stage, that's different. And you...
yeah.
Like, last year I saw this band called Cage the Elephant.
Yeah.
And then Lawrence and the Machine, and then...
Florence and the Machine.
Did I say Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think she's got a brother, Lawrence, and he's got a band called Lawrence.
It's a cover band.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. No, really.
Yeah.
Can you sing? We're going to be Lawrence and the Machine.
No, you'll have to sing.
Maybe Chris will sing.
Yeah, we know Chris can sing. He just won't post that video. But
can he sing?
He can do it. Oh, yeah. Remember when he sang the Clem Snide song?
Well, no, I do. Let's play it. Put it on right now. He's not here to stop us.
I wouldn't even be able to find it right now. But yeah, we'll try to get his permission, though. I thought he did a fine job on that.
Yeah, so, and then headlining was, what are they called? Those dudes from Dayton. Blues combo. Blues rock combo. I think they're from Dayton.
The Black Keys?
Yeah.
So couldn't you saw them last year at Summerfest?
Yeah, all three of those bands.
It was at the big main stage,
the Henry
though.
Meyer thing. Yeah. So that's different.
Yeah.
But when you're just like standing in a crowd
trying
to watch somebody that should have, like you said, 250 people, it is kind of obnoxious.
And they had these benches and everybody was standing on top of the benches. So even if you were standing, you know, you could still couldn't see unless you were also standing on a bench.
Yeah.
So the setup leaves a little bit to be desired. Although the concept is good, right? Although I think like... 75% of the people in Milwaukee go to Summerfest not to hear music, but to drink and eat.
Drink and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drink a lot and eat a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, just kind of walk around.
Yep. Let's play another Walkman song. You got one?
I am going to pick number, the one Southern Heart. What is it? Number 5.
Yep.
Family comes from Kentucky and men, bourbon in the blood. They left the country for the city in 1951. Me. Saw you on TV last night. Life looks easy on the TV when you're riding some blue evening. I fill my evenings with images of your southern heart I'm after. It's your southern heart I'm after.
Okay, two comments.
That's an example of the thing I was talking about, where it's just kind of meandering.
Yep.
What are your comments?
Number one, it sounds like my morning jacket.
Yeah, I can sort of hear that.
Probably because of the reverb. Number two, he's a good singer. You know, he more often he does the, you know, kind of loud voice thing. But he's got a good voice. He's a good singer. And he has an interesting sounding voice. Plus, total cool factor, the guy's name is Hamilton Lighthouser. Now, that's just a cool name, right?
That is cool.
Yeah, that's totally cool.
Hamilton Lighthouser.
Yeah.
He probably, I mean, with a name like that, he's got Hamilton Lighthouser at Gmail, and like, you know, his Facebook thing is facebook.com/Hamilton Lighthouser. Everything's real easy.
Yeah.
For all the things on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Everything you can think of. You don't have to be like, well, I've got the same thing, but like somebody this name is like, even Chris Schneider.
Yeah.
You'd have to be like Chris Schneider 549 at whatever. So.
Right.
Hamilton and I have it easy in that way.
Yeah. So. Maybe he changed his name to be cool. Like maybe his born name was like Robert Wetterston or something, you know, just some like, you know, kind of average name.
Right.
There's got to be a better example. Maybe his given name was like Steve Johnson or something. And he wanted to be like more, he wanted to stand out. And like, I think I want to be Hamilton Lighthouser because that's way cooler.
That's way cooler.
Yeah.
You must have people that you went to high school with that you kind of want to, you just, you know, some bored afternoon, you're like, I wonder whatever happened to so-and-so.
Yeah.
I went to school with Steve Johnson and a Dave Johnson. They are Google-proof for their entire lives.
That's right.
There's no way anybody will ever find them, even if it was somebody in Madison.
Yeah.
I bet there are 40 Steve Johnsons in Madison.
Right, right.
This is very sad.
You know what the worst is, though? If you have a name where there's only like two other ones, because then there could be like some scandalous thing and then people would suspect it's actually you.
Right.
If you're Steve Johnson, somebody sees something, they're like, well, obviously that's not him because there's a million Steve Johnsons. But if there was one other Hamilton Lighthouser who lived like in Denver or something,
right,
who's like a freak, right, or he's like committed crimes, or he's like a big porn star or whatever, right?
Right.
And then you're like, ooh, you know, they're going to think that's me. Right?
Right.
There's like five people that I've found kind of with my name.
Yeah.
Like there's a race car driver and there's some guy director of marketing for something. And, you know, there's enough that I bet on occasion somebody has found it. It's like, God, I wonder if that's him. You know, like, God, I wonder. He's like director of marketing in whatever.
Yeah. And he does like, his podcast.
No, it's not me.
I actually found somebody from high school that I was wondering about. His name is, I won't give his last name. His name is Kevin. And he has kind of a unique last name.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody in that had been arrested for, you know, in Iowa. So it's close enough that it's like, it's probably him, and he's about the right age.
Yeah.
And he like, you know, stole a car and hit and run, and then was like, you know, resisting arrest and all this stuff.
And you're seriously wondering it might be him, right?
Well, somehow I did it. I was initially convinced that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, maybe I saw that he was friends with somebody on Facebook. I can't remember. I don't remember what the deal was. But I kind of dismissed that idea. Maybe I just didn't want to know that, you know, an old friend from high school would do something like that.
Or did you send him a message like, too bad about that stolen car?
Yeah. And then he'd probably come and strangle me because it would be somebody different.
Like,
I
don't think man.
Knew about that. Come and kill me.
Well, these are the perils of the communication age in which we live. So, let's throw out one other Walkman song, okay? We're featuring a band here. I think this one really kind of has a good Walkman kind of sound to it. It's called The Love You Love.
A kissing.
Walkman. Yeah, that's a really good one.
That's pretty good rocking for dad rockers, right?
It is. You know who I can kind of lump these guys with a couple other bands would be, and they don't sound so much like them, but Spoon and the National. Just like mature guys.
Yeah.
Put out a lot of records.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
And they just know what the hell they're doing. And they're not, not necessarily chasing any trends or trying to sound, you know, different than, not trying to be anything that they're not, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And they at least give the impression that they're playing music that they like.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
They're not just, they're not sellouts, and they have pretty good staying power.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I've kind of been liking their albums kind of gradually more as they've progressed through their career. So they'd be a really fun band to see live.
They would be. I saw them just like a few weeks before the coffee shop opened. So that would have been in 2004. They played at the Annex.
I'd like to go back in time and see that.
Yeah.
But I can't now. You can't go back.
No, you can't.
You just can't do that.
You can only deal with what you got in front of you.
Is the Annex still there? Like, they don't book shows, but
they don't book shows anymore.
But it's a reasonably good room to have bands in.
It was people bashed it because the bar that's attached to it is kind of a boring place for boring rockers to hang out.
But who cares?
But who cares? I think when you were there, the stage was so wide.
Yeah.
And it was so easy to get off to the side and go mm-hmm. order a beer and then either stand on the side of the stage mm-hmm. where you could hear pretty well or just walk up into the front. Like you could see, you know, we went and saw two that I remember. The best shows I saw there were Granddaddy. Remember those guys?
Mm-hmm.
And My Morning Jacket. It's like literally standing right there. Like
right.
You can't do that anywhere.
I saw Guided by Voices, I think, twice there.
Yeah.
And it was great.
You'd be right in front.
Right.
There's so much real estate there, and...
And I think that if there's one gripe, and now we're getting local, nobody's going to know what we're talking about, and it's going to be boring. But let me try to make this a general concept. The High Noon in Madison is really one of the premier music venues. And I, you know, the owner is cool, the place is cool, they book great bands and everything. But my one gripe is it's too narrow and not wide enough. And if they had made it wider, there'd just be more room to like get up there and see the band.
Right.
You know? So people designing rock and roll venues, make it just a little wider than you think, because I don't know. I think that helps.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Big time.
Yeah.
This lab about a year ago, my wife dragged me to this thing at the Fireside because her mom and dad wanted to go. It's this thing like...
It's a dinner theater, right?
It's a dinner theater.
I've never been there. I hear about it all the time.
Yeah. You probably don't need to go. But it was
like... the House on the Rock? Do I not need to go there either?
There you do need to go.
I've never been to that either.
Yeah, that you should do.
Okay.
That you should do. But this is... There was this thing like, you know, her mom... thought that, you know, we would enjoy this thing that was like, and they just sort of ran through like the rock and roll, like through the 50s all the way through the, you know, probably stopping at about the 80s.
Is that what they call a review, spelled like, R-E-V-U-E?
Yeah, yeah, that kind of a thing.
One of those.
And it wasn't something I really enjoyed, but it's on this round stage. You have people sitting all around it. And I was thinking then, like, I wonder if I could, you know, like promote a show and put it on here, right? You just talk to the management and say, I think I can, whatever. Like how much is it? What would you charge me to rent it out on a Friday night?
Bon Iver at the Fireside.
Seriously. You know, maybe not somebody that big, but
it's in the round.
Yeah.
So what's their capacity?
It's pretty much, I don't know. I mean, you know, like, so it wouldn't be Bon Iver, but you know, I'm sure you could get
Dum Dum Girls.
Like 1,200 people in there or something.
Ah, so bigger than Dum Dum Girls. So
maybe, yeah.
The Walkmen. The Walkmen in the round at the Fireside.
Yeah, it would be, I think that would be cool. Yeah. I think the stage even rotated.
That's worth looking into.
Everybody gets to see see him facing him, and then the, you know, the sound system is designed so that everybody in the whole place hears it, so that wouldn't be a problem.
You know, concerts in the round have been just traditionally just only arena rock.
Yeah.
So if you could have a club that had a band like in the middle, that might be like totally cool. I think you might be onto something here.
Plus, it's kitschy. Have you ever been? Well, no, you just said you haven't.
No.
It's like before the show, there's all these little areas, places you can sit. But, you know, one of the areas is like a old-fashioned, you know, Wisconsin Supper Club. It's like it's like you're at the Gobbler. Remember that place in Johnson Creek?
Yep.
So how great would that be? You're there to see a rock show. Places filled with hipsters that are like drinking PBRs and hanging out in this tacky little place in Fort Atkinson. And then you go in and you have the concert experience of a lifetime.
Boy, you might be honest. I think
Let's
I might have to. Now
out.
I need to go there. You said I didn't need to, but now I need to.
Yeah, maybe you can. What would be
gotta
there?
Got to see it. Like what do they have there? Like, do they have like a, you know, like, do they have like seasonal shows? Like American like Players Theater? Are there like five or six things to choose from?
Yeah, but not like that. Like it, they'd have like, you know, David Mamet plays and Shakespeare and stuff. This would be less than that.
Maybe I can like, find something. I'll surprise my wife and say, I'll say, we're going to the fireside.
I don't know what you would find that would be.
I'll have to look it up.
If you got some like cheap tickets and just did it as a kind of a lark.
Can you get them cheap on like StubHub?
I would. Well, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. I've only been there the one time and I got this crazy idea, but now everybody knows it.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Wisconsin listeners, too, that might jump on this. And
now, could you get a rock and roll setup on their stage? You know, the guitar, drums, amps, monitors. They must have a built-in sound system. There must be, like, a guy in a booth or something.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean,
okay, we got to check into this.
When we were there, they played, you know, they were playing, like, you know, rock music. It wasn't, like, super loud, but...
But were they actually playing it?
You know, would
it
be great
like,
there. Belle and Sebastian would be great there because they play really quiet.
So Twee would be good.
Twee would be
Camera
good.
Camera Obscura.
Yeah,
at
or
the
maybe
fireside.
Like Guar, because the contrast would be so interesting.
All right, we've opened another
Don't
door.
Don't steal
of possibilities.
That idea, anybody.
Do not, because if you do, we're going to know it that it came from here. So there's another band, and I'm biased. You know, I really like this band, and I think I've told you this before. They were my wife's and my dating music. The 1993 album, So Tough, by the band Saint Etienne, was our dating music, and you know, it'll always be one of my favorite albums ever.
Yeah.
So now they've got a new album, and it's pretty good, and it's fun, and got a lot of good reviews, and I probably was predisposed to like it already, but... Yeah, it's good. All of you younger people should listen to this, as well as you dad rockers who listen.
So, tell us where they're from and how many albums have they had?
Well, I think they're from London, and they've had about, I don't know, 8 to 10 albums maybe, dating back to the early 90s, and really a pretty consistent output. And, you know, they're really... There aren't any like really bad clunker albums in their catalog. They kind of had their prime, I think, in the mid 90s, and then kept putting out some albums every maybe 3 years or so. And they're always pretty decent, I think. And now it was kind of surprising to me to realize this, but I think their last album was like 2005, so it's been a long time. So you know, they're good aging rockers like us, and they came out with another really pretty good solid album. It's called Words and Music by Saint Etienne, and it's kind of got a nostalgic kind of feel to it. The words are kind of nostalgic. There's a lot of lyrics about like growing up listening to music and stuff like that, and still has the same kind of dance. It's pretty much a lot of it's dance music, but it's I'll call it dance music with like, you know, melodies, a little heart to it, you know.
Yeah, well, it's let's hear a couple of tracks.
Yeah, I like a lot of this, but we'll start with one that probably captures the sound really well. This is called Tonight. ¶¶
So I guess the first thing I'm curious about is, does Maya like this too?
Oh, yeah.
New one.
Well, she hasn't really listened to it, but I'm sure she will.
Yeah. It's going to be like your vacation driving music.
Yeah. This will be interesting to see like what the kids' tolerance level is.
I'm wondering how Grant is going to tolerate it.
You know what? Actually, he said, I had this on, and he said, is that Ivy or something? So the band that he thought of was Ivy. Remember Ivy?
No.
That's Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, who put together a band with a French woman singer. And it kind of has this kind of a sound to it.
Right.
But it's a little more straight pop and a little bit less sort of dance. But I thought that was a pretty good... I had never thought about that as a pretty close comparison.
Yeah.
But he didn't say, like, this is terrible, get rid of it. So, you know, I think he's okay with it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So did you get a chance to listen to this at all?
I did. I did not. I got enough listens in to familiarize myself with the sound, but not really to pick out favorite songs.
Does that mean I get to keep picking
songs?
You get to
keep picking them until...
I'm just going to keep going here. We'll be on... this will be another hour for the podcast. I'm just going to keep picking tracks. No, we'll pick a couple more. This one is called 25 Years.
Yeah.
A young band might have written a song called 25 Years, kind of about how old they are.
Exactly.
But she's saying 25 years that she's got left.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about what I got left.
That's, we'll call that mom rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's Saint Etienne from the new album Words and Music by Saint Etienne. And it's getting the Will seal of approval. All right, let's play one more. And I've got two dance hits. We're going to either go with I've Got Your Music or DJ. Got a choice there?
Let's go with I've Got Your Music.
All right, time to get out on the dance floor.
There you have it.
Words and Music by Saint Etienne.
You know, I've always been, I've heard about them for a long time. I never really listened to it. But I don't know that I was ever even really confident enough to say their name, Saint Etienne. Like,
yeah. I was used to always pronounce it Etienne, but I think it's like Etienne is really more appropriate. Maybe somebody can tell us. Maybe like one of our European listeners would like be better than us at that. They're probably thinking, these are Midwestern dorks who don't know how to pronounce anything.
Right.
Right? So we're clumsy and awkward, but that's part of the charm of us. Right?
I think so, yeah. They're whatever little bit there is.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know, I think it's cool when you have a band that you liked from way back and they come out with a new album and it's whatever, you know, 20 years later. There's a potential for disaster there, right? Like you're going to be just disappointed. Like they just can't do it like they used to. So when they do it and it's good, like this is an example, it's great. It's really cool.
Right.
It's a really good, solid album. And so if you liked them before, you'll like them now. And if you never heard of them, maybe you'll like them now, depending on what you think of what you just heard.
Right, but that was pretty representative, apparently.
Yeah, it really was, yeah. So, but the album is pretty solid. There's one song that's kind of baby, 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 you know. It's a little bit cheesy, but most of it's really good.
Yeah.
Yep. So there you go.
All right.
We have now, once again, done a great service to the listeners by giving them good music, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I think I've got this list here. This list is really getting big of bands that we could possibly, these are all my Spotify playlists. Look at all this stuff.
Wow.
There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Yeah, I see one that we should do that starts with a J.
Right? I think we're going to be doing that, right?
And
then there's a whole bunch of other interesting stuff. So there's one that's not on here that I kind of wanted to talk about too. So in our post-production / pre-production meeting, we can discuss that.
I do not want to talk about Sigur Rós. I hope that you don't.
It's okay. I'm all right not talking about it.
Okay.
I've kind of gotten four tracks into it, and I really like the first half of it. I think the second half, I'm not sure yet whether I'm going to like it or not. But, you know, that's probably a band that people know whether they like or not already.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to like them. Oops, I just got a text message from my wife.
Saying you better get home right now? Does it say come home right now in all capital letters?
Yeah, just making some plans with the neighbors. Do you want a taco or should I put it away? What should I?
That's a tough decision to make right there.
Oh, man. I already kind of ate. So
That's
the kind of stuff that dad rockers worry about.
We do. Yep. I should mention, here's a confessional. I missed Royal Headache. I wanted to go see him.
Oh, yeah, they played last Friday.
Yeah, but we did. We went out with friends and came back, and there was kind of a conglomeration of mishaps with the kids, and everybody was okay. But I got home, and it was like 9 o'clock, and I had already been out, and Royal Headache wasn't going to probably play till like 11, and I just couldn't do it. But I'm sure it was good. So if anybody is listening who went and saw that, I'd love to hear what it was like. And maybe they'll come back on a club tour. I'd love to see them. I think they were a really fun band. So, well, lots of potential music to talk about, and we'll talk about that in a closed meeting, a secret meeting that nobody will be given access to. We don't allow the press in on these meetings. We don't allow, even like support staff doesn't get in on these meetings.
No.
It's just, us.
And you can't write anything down because that could be discovered.
Yeah.
Like there was that one time I wrote down a suggestion.
Yeah.
And then your wife came and did the little pencil trick on the notepad.
Right.
And it was all there in like the stuff that I wrote was white and everything else was
right.
Black.
And put the little
found
hint
out
on
what that was.
Put a little hint on Twitter and then it was all over the place.
Yeah.
Like who we were going to talk about next.
Be careful.
We have to be very careful. So we will be careful, but we will have some good music to talk about again next week, I think, won't we? You'll be back from your halfway across the country tour.
Oh, wait, it's going to be not next week. I won't be around. I'm going to be in. I might be able to phone in like briefly if you.
Are you going to be at a? Me. Will you be in like a?
We're going to be
luxury
in,
room at the 18th hole somewhere. Or?
We're going to. No, we still have to find a place to stay, but we're going to stay in Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Oh, so you're going to be out in Colorado for a while.
Yeah, for a week.
Okay, well, we'll correspond, and we'll see if we can get you on
that'd be kind of fun.
On
it's
the phone.
Fun to do a remote.
If you have a good connection.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. One way or another, we will bring you more music next week. And now there's a little unpredictability factor, which makes it even more fun, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it'll be one of those rare ones with you and Chris in studio and me over the phone.
We've done that once or twice, I think.
Maybe.
We've done
maybe
just once.
Once, yeah.
Yeah. We have done a variety of configurations over the years, now that we're getting to be like veterans.
Right.
Yeah.
The other things we've never done is just me or just Chris or just me and Chris.
Right, with me gone.
Every other permutation. You're the
I'm the glue that holds the podcast together.
For sure.
That's right. I have the studio. You guys could come to my house and I could leave, and then that would
just
allow
for
that
just to say that we did it.
Yeah.
These people have said that it cannot be done.
That's
we'll
right.
Prove them wrong.
Right. All right. This chair is squeaky, isn't it? We need to get some oil on the chair.
Talk about that support staff. We got to get them in here after the meeting.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And it's time to say goodnight. So let's say goodnight. Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.